Welcome back to React Native Radio Podcast, brought to you by ChatGPT. I asked them for their ad, and they said, "We may be robots, but at least we're not as awkward as you." Ouch. Hey! Episode 253, We React to News.
Did you hear about the dad who told his wife, "I'll be back soon," and took his 8-year-old son and climbed El Capitan?
I did not hear about that.
What would you do if that was your kid?
Wait, did he come back?
He did. Everyone's fine. Yeah. I should have said that. But yeah. Everyone's
like
fine.
A kidnapping situation. This is just like no, surprise rock climbing expedition. Yeah.
He is the youngest person to climb El Capitan with the help of his dad, because I think his dad just kind of tied him onto himself and just climbed El Capitan.
So the mom was not down with this, and so he had to like do it without telling. Is that the idea?
I don't know. I was just adding effect to the story.
I think if my husband was a professional, very experienced rock climber, I would probably be fine. I would be like, "Okay, I trust you. It's a little weird that you like took him without telling me, but pretty epic."
Yeah.
To have climbed El Capitan as an 8-year-old.
The youngest person to climb it. I wonder if he did climbing. A lot of the pictures that I've seen, he's pretty much just kind of like being pulled up by his dad most of the way up, which kind of makes sense. I mean, El Capitan's like flat.
Yeah. It's like a straight up and down rock face, isn't it?
Yep. It's a famous 3,000-foot granite cliff.
And also a version of macOS.
Exactly.
That's what I think of when I hear El Capitan. I think macOS. But it is also a giant rock.
Yes.
Would you take your 8-year-old rock climbing in secret?
In secret? No. I mean, I wouldn't be allowed back home, first of all. Second of all, no, I don't think so.
It's a pretty bold move.
Yeah. Unless the kid had experience in climbing prior to it.
There's a lot of context we don't have.
Exactly. Yeah.
This was not so out of the normal for this family.
Oh, the kid's here. I see a picture of the kid with the t-shirt that says, "Adventure is my middle name." So I'm sure this is not his first rodeo.
I wonder if that's actually his middle name.
That would be hilarious.
I knew a kid who was actually given the middle name Danger. Ooh. Like literally his middle name's Danger, which I thought was pretty cool. Danger is my middle name. No, seriously, here's my birth certificate. I can prove it.
Sam Baker, if you're out there, let us know what your middle name is.
If you're listening to React Native Radio, so I'm sure you are. Let's get into it. You probably noticed that you're not hearing the voice of Jamin. He is a little under the weather today, so he won't be joining us, but that's okay. We'll see him next time and we'll miss him, but it'll just be Mazen and me today. Of course, I'm Robin Hines, a senior software engineer at Infinite Red, and I live just west of Portland, Oregon with my husband and my two kids. And I've specialized in React Native for the past 5 years, and I guess I'll be your host for the day. And then I'm joined by my transcendent co-host. What? We looked it up. Mm-hmm. It means really cool.
Very cool.
Very, very cool. My transcendent co-host, Mazen. As always, he lives in Durham, North Carolina with his wife and his baby boy, who is almost not a baby anymore. Getting close to.
He's 8 months tomorrow.
Yeah, he's getting big. We saw a picture of him in his Halloween costume recently, which was adorable. And he is also a senior React Native engineer here at Infinite Red.
Me, that is not my son.
That's right. I should briefly mention that this episode is sponsored by Chain React 2023. Chain React is returning in person next year. And you should sign up. Early bird tickets are available now. You can sign up for the Chain React newsletter to be informed about when conference and workshop regular tickets go on sale. And you'll also be notified about things like the CFP if you want to submit a talk. Definitely check that out, chainreactconf.com. And of course, as always, we're also sponsored by Infinite Red. Infinite Red is a premier React Native design and development agency located fully remote in the US and Canada. So if you're looking for React Native expertise for your next React Native project, hit us up at infinite.red/React Native. And don't forget to mention that you heard about us through the React Native Radio podcast.
You said CFP. For those that don't know, can you clarify what it is?
Oh, yeah. So CFP is a call for papers, I think. It just is a, if you want to submit a talk for Chain React, you would enter our CFP, which you should do. We love our speakers, and we'd love to hear what talk ideas you have. So sign up for the newsletter and you'll be notified when that happens. Awesome. Let's get into our topic for today. It's going to be probably a quick one today. We're going to react to some news in the React Native world. So to start us off, you may have heard Expo 47 beta has been released, which has some much anticipated new features. Mazen, do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Hermes is now available for iOS and Expo Go, so you can now enable that flag if you ever need to. Well, you should. I feel like it improves Android quite a bit, so I think iOS should leverage that now.
So if you're not aware, Hermes was added to iOS a while back, I think in the mid-60s of React Native, but has not been available in Expo Go until this beta, since Expo Go is much more controlled and less native integrated. Hermes has not been available on iOS and Expo Go until now.
Mm-hmm. And one like thing to keep in mind is by SDK 48, it'll be enabled by default. So 47 is getting you there. 48.
Right. It's available, but you have to turn it on.
Correct. Yes.
And if you're using SDK 47.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Another big one is React Native and React versions were updated. So React Native is on 0.70.4 and React is 18.1.0.
Getting closer to supporting the new architecture.
Mm-hmm. Very.
Adding support through Expo is going to be a big piece of getting new architecture in more and more apps.
The minimum iOS version was also updated to 13. I think that's mainly because Apple is pushing that higher up also. Mm-hmm. So now you do need to be on 13 to release. So
pretty sure we have someone on our team who really hates upgrading his devices and is stubbornly still on 13, but like he has had to upgrade to 13 because Apple doesn't really support any older. But yeah, he's a good resource for testing whether things work on really old devices.
Like, hey, does this crash?
I think he has an iPhone 6.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Which is, pretty old. So it looks like they've also added experimental support for Fabric in some of the Expo modules. Expo AV, Expo Camera, and Expo Linear Gradient now support Fabric in SDK 47.
Yeah.
They also mentioned some Vue-based modules that don't support Fabric yet. Expo Apple Authentication, Expo Barcode Scanner, Expo Blur, and Expo GL do not yet support Fabric. But all of the other Expo modules are compatible with the new architecture already. They don't have any anything that would need to be upgraded to Fabric. So they're just talking about the Expo modules that have Vue components
that
need to be Fabric compatible.
Yeah, if you think of only four that aren't compatible yet, so maybe they'll be in 48. So that's very soon.
I wouldn't be surprised if they were in 48.
And there's a lot of other community packages that aren't there. So you could kind of pretty much say that Expo is closing that gap to new architecture fast and will be there very soon. 100%, I think. So that's pretty cool.
Let's see. There's a couple other things that are worth noting. One thing that we'll actually be talking a bit about more in our next item, but there's a beta release of Expo's new file system-based routing called Expo Router. That's part of this beta 47 SDK. So this is new. It's a file system-based routing API that they've built on top of React Navigation. It's called Expo Router. There's a blog post about it, which we'll link in the show notes. And we're going to talk about this more in a second. But this is a big deal. I think this is this is the start of a big shift in how people use navigation in React Native and Expo apps. So definitely read that blog post. Check that out. Give it a try. because that's in SDK 47.
Another thing is they've deprecated app.json fields. So if you're on 47 or above, there's a bunch of items that you would need to either find their replacement or, you know, completely remove, especially if you're using them. Some are ios.splash.xib, android.googlesignin, use next notification API, and then ios.googlesignin also. So there's a bunch of others there. Take a look there. Expo Firebase libraries, so analytics, CAPTCHA, and all, are deprecated. So that's a big one.
So their solution, they said, they suggest migrating to React Native Firebase. I think they previously had an Expo flavor of Firebase JS.
Yeah.
But React Native Firebase, the regular React Native Firebase, is compatible with Expo now, which is why they're deprecating their Expo-based libraries.
And if you're using the EAS build, you can still use React Native Firebase to get all the stuff. One great example is the Chain React app is using this underneath the hood. So
yes, spoiler alert, we're starting to work on the Chain React 2023 app, which is still in very much in the early stages.
But
stay tuned for more news about that as we get further along. That'll be fun to watch that come together. Another deprecation warning. Actually, it's not even deprecated anymore. It's just gone now. SDK 47 doesn't support classic builds anymore. So the command expo build iOS or expo build Android, SDK 46 was the last release to support that. So that's not supported in 47. You can build your expo projects with EAS build either locally or in the cloud, or you can build through Xcode and Android Studio.
Another one is React Native Maps had a major version bump. So if you're using that, please take a look at the changelog because it's a big bump. We're talking about 0.31.1 to 1.3.2.
That's a big bump.
That's a big bump. I mean, that's you don't know if 0.31.1 and then the next version is 1.0.
Still, even 1.0 to 1.3 is not something to sneeze at.
Usually going to 1.0 means there is a big update there, right? So I actually just clicked into it and yes, 0.31.1 and then the next version is 1.0. So that alone probably has a lot of breaking changes right there. So please take a look at that.
So yeah, that's Expo SDK 47. Beta release. It is still in beta. It may be full release by the time this episode comes out. Who knows? But as of this recording, it's in beta. I'm probably going to try and upgrade the projects that I'm working on that are using Expo to see how that goes. Hopefully it goes well.
Yeah. Good luck.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Cool. As promised, we're going to talk a little bit more about Expo Router, specifically though, in the context of Solido. If you don't know, Solido is a library that was released, which makes it easy to have a shared web and React Native app because it adds much more cohesive navigation between the two, since navigation has always kind of been one of the biggest differences between web and mobile. So Solido was aiming to sort of bridge that gap. And now Solido and Expo Router are coming together.
Solido is actually by Fernando Rojo, who we had on the podcast in R&R 224. We talked to him about React Native Web on Next.js, but it was John Major and I don't really remember, but I think there was some hints to Solido and him starting to migrate his application that we talked about, BeatGig, onto Solido and all this stuff. So I would assume that he's using Solido on that application right now. But yes, this is, I think you mentioned, still beta and still being worked on, but it is pretty cool to see it in action. There's the blog post that Evan Bacon posted. That blog post kind of shows how cool, and I think there's a GIF on there, if I'm not mistaken, of how it works, like when you create a new file and how you navigate to it. And that's pretty cool to kind of see it. It's to me, it just seems like web-based structure at the end of the day. And it just kind of points to your file and folder. So if you had a file in like four subdirectories, you would just kind of do it that way, you know, folder A, B, C, D slash index.js or slash home.tx, TSX.
Yeah.
And then it would kind of display for you that way. And that's how you'd navigate to it. That's pretty cool. It makes it almost easier, I feel, to handle routing, because sometimes routing can be very daunting unless you're using Ignite and the generator does it for you.
Web navigation and mobile navigation have always been very different, just because mobile navigation has always been like based on this idea of like stacks and sort of like screens coming in on top of each other based on, because that's just kind of how I think Apple really started that, with like the UI experience of feeling like you're pulling a page in on top of another page. And so there's this idea of like screens being layered on top of each other, which doesn't exist on the web. And so that's kind of been the basis for mobile navigation libraries. But because there's so many cases now where we're trying to share as much code and logic as possible between a web app and a corresponding mobile app, I think libraries like this, which seek to unify those, are going to get a lot of traction.
Yeah. And that was the motivation behind this, you know, the ability to get universal linking and just like deep links into your application that work both on web and mobile, because they are very different mechanisms of how we route on both.
Yeah. I haven't had a chance to give this a try yet, but there's been a lot of buzz. So I'm looking forward to seeing what it's all about. Maybe you'll see it in Ignite. You may see it in Ignite Cookbook, at least. Have we even announced the cookbook yet?
I don't think so.
We've announced the cookbook yet. Never mind. We won't just talk about the cookbook.
Erase that from your memory.
We'll take that out.
Cut, Robin.
You'll probably see Jamin tweeting about it anyway. If we give it a try around here, I'm sure you'll see it. Awesome. Let's move on. Some news in the metaverse. Meta, the company, is adopting Kotlin as their primary language for Android development now, as opposed to Java, which is big news for Kotlin. Big news for people who don't like Java, prefer to use Kotlin. It seems like a pretty big endorsement of where Android is moving. And there's a blog post, there's an article about it called From 0 to 10 Million Lines of Kotlin. That's a lot.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of reasons behind their switch, which was not a trivial switch, obviously. That there was a lot of code to change, but they had some pretty good reasons for doing it. One is just like the amount of code. Like Kotlin is shorter. It takes fewer lines to do the same thing. It's easier to read and follow. It's more functional. Like it supports inline functions and lambda expressions, and you can do more of a functional programming style.
TypeSafe builders were one that they mentioned specifically.
Also
nullability.
Like null pointer exceptions apparently are a common problem in Java. I'm not a Java pro. Yeah. I've never really done much in Java, but I'm guessing if you have been a Java programmer, you know what that implies.
You're probably jumping up for joy right now.
Like, it sounds like they had to do a lot of manual, like, tooling to detect that type of exception and keep it from causing errors for users. But it sounds like Kotlin has a lot of built-in tooling to prevent null pointer exceptions. So that sounded like a pretty big reason to switch. So, yeah, Meta switching to Kotlin.
And something just real quick, some points that they highlighted that they learned from this switch was it significantly reduced the lines of code. So it was a reason why the execution speed was pretty much the same. So that didn't really affect much. The build size wasn't an issue. So I think mainly because Kotlin was just a little bit smaller. And then lastly, they have to address that with Kotlin, because it's relatively new in comparison to Java, there are longer build times. So that's something that they're paying attention to and trying to figure out how to decrease, essentially.
Nice.
Yeah.
One less organization using Java. Okay. So kind of in the same vein, Kotlin sort of gaining a bigger footprint in the world, React create React Native library, which I think is similar to create React app. Mm-hmm. Yes. But create React Native library is specifically for creating libraries, not applications.
Yeah, this is part of the React Native Builder Bob call mm-hmm. stack.
They have now added support to create turbo modules in Kotlin.
Look at Kotlin getting all the...
I don't know if that's in contrast to, like, they only had a Java template before.
Probably.
Or if they didn't have a template for creating turbo modules at all before this. But
so it says adding Kotlin support to turbo modules template. So I assume turbo module template exists, and now the flavor of Kotlin is added to it.
Yep, that's right. So that there was a turbo module template before, but now you can create them in Kotlin. Mm-hmm. Even more evidence that Kotlin's taken over the world. Mm-hmm. You're sitting down to do Android development and you don't know Java or Kotlin and you're trying to pick which one to learn. Definitely learn Kotlin, sounds like.
Yeah, cool. I think the next one is actually very interesting. It was something I stumbled on Twitter recently. Alexandre Moreau, I hope I said his name right, he is doing daily benchmarks of React Native old versus new architecture. And he has this long thread, we'll link in the show notes, to his Twitter. He pretty much goes through random scenarios of like crazy amounts. Like, for example, day one was displaying 10,000 views. The clear winner was the new architecture. And you can, you know, he has a lot of GIFs to kind of show how it happens. It was very mind-blowing, the difference in speed between the two loading. Day two is displaying 2,000 text fields, I believe. Almost seems like old architecture won that one, but it was very close. The nice thing about it is he gets to show you who wins if there's a draw between the two. So really get to see it. Now, we have mentioned that new architecture is still a ways out from being like fully adopted and you get to see all its benefits. But this is actually a really cool, you know, now in its infancy to kind of see how it's growing. And I can't really find it right now, but he does mention, he did have one where he kind of posted his CPU versus RAM usage. And there's a big difference between the two. Sometimes I can't remember which one it was, but I think it was RAM. New architecture would have a huge spike, but then a quick dip and just kind of stay very flatline, while old architecture kind of stayed high and just had this like gradual increase. So, you know, as you were using the app, the RAM or CPU usage was more and more as you kept the app open. But with new architecture, it did a really good job of getting all the resources it needed early, maybe on startup, not quite sure. And then kind of that dip where it wasn't using much and it kind of kept, almost felt like background. So,
wow,
really cool. I would check it out. Yeah, the GIFs are interesting. I mean, for us to come here and say, new old architecture one is winning a bunch of his tests is not something I expected to say out loud, but it's the reality of where we're at. It's also interesting that React Native SVG displaying 2K SVGs, 2,000 different SVGs was a draw between the two, and they both showed up at the same time. So
SVGs are notoriously quick.
Exactly. So
compared
it's kind
to
of,
PNG, I would want. Exactly. Does he have the same benchmark with PNGs?
I don't think so. I know he does a Pokedex flatlet scrolling.
I was just looking at the Pokedex.
Yeah. he does a straight comparison of flatlet old architecture one. I'm interested, and he also notes that he would be interested in trying flashlist as a comparison.
I was just going to ask. I was like, I wonder how flashlist would.
I would assume
up.
That would not be a competition right there. So from what this is showing, startup time is quicker in new architecture, but then after that, there is, you know, pluses and minuses in all other aspects. So.
Oh, yeah, that's a daily thing. Mm-hmm. He's up to day 7.
Yes.
Which he posted a couple days ago. So maybe he's taking a little break.
Yeah.
But he at least got 7 days, which super interesting. I haven't seen a ton of this kind of benchmarking, tangible, like this is the difference kind of thing with the new architecture. So definitely check that out. We're going to link that in the show notes.
I'm not sure if I mentioned, but he's doing the fabric side of things.
Okay, right. Yeah. Okay. So specifically UI rendering.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Fabric UI rendering. I'm not sure if he has like anything else enabled, but he mentions that it's his fabric test. In quotes.
Getting to the end of the list here, One thing to note, React Native types have always been in definitely typed. So if you're not familiar with definitely typed,
definitely.
It's basically just a communal pile of types for open source libraries.
Yeah.
Like, for a long time, that was the only place where types were defined. It was just like a bunch of people who would come define the types for the libraries that they were using. Because if the libraries didn't have their own types included, this is kind of back when TypeScript was still pretty new and adoption was not across the board by any means. So it was a place that you could define types for libraries that you were using and then share them with the rest of the community. But as TypeScript support has gotten more universal, it's like most libraries have their own types now. So now React Native types specifically will be included with React Native itself.
That's big. That's
big. Which is big, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like every time I install, I'm always like, yarn add. Yes, I use yarn.
Yeah, you have to add remember to add React Native and then add React Native type separately.
Yeah. Even if I'm adding a random package sometimes, I think out of habit, I'll do, you know, yarn add package space, and then add types / the package.
If it installs, it installs.
Maybe
I don't know why. It just occurred to me that I haven't really had to do that very often.
Really? Yeah.
Anymore.
It's rare, but they exist. I kind of think it's more on the React side of things than React Native, because I think a lot of React Native stuff is built in TypeScript to start off with.
Yeah.
I'm kind of working on a web project right now, so that's maybe why it's front of mind for me. So I'm kind of like, yes, this is big. So it is big in general. And then
it just feels like a milestone to sort of like, okay, yes, TypeScript is, it's here. It's everyone, like, it's the default now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's first class. And
definitely typed is the React Native types are definitely that live in definitely typed. Oof, say that. Those are being deprecated in 0.72. So if you're going to migrate,
they're still going to work for a couple of versions, but
yeah. So I think if you're planning to upgrade to 71, you know, get rid of the at types at the same time, just so you're not caught with it.
Cool.
So the last point that I have is not necessarily news. It's just something that's been bugging me for a while. And a friend of IR, David Lillette, kind of posted the solution to it. You probably started you're trying to do yarn iOS or what, specifically iOS, yarn iOS. And then you get that annoying message that says unable to boot device. It's happened to me a couple of times and I kind of like, oh,
it happens to me. Yeah.
Curses.
I've seen it a lot.
Well, you can get rid of it. On the simulator, if you do command, comma, a little screen will pop up. And then you uncheck when simulator starts, boot the most recently used simulator.
Hmm.
And that solves it. Solves the issue.
Solves there.
Yep.
Today I learned.
Weird nugget of the day.
Should that be a new segment?
Weird. That's like the
Mazin's
first
weird nugget.
Let's see.
I don't know. Hopefully, about that.
Yeah, no. I'm fine. One and only weird nugget of the podcast for a while, maybe.
Oh, awesome. Well, that's all the news that we had to go over today. If you'd like to nerd out more about React Native, make sure to check out Jamin's Twitch stream at rn.live or youtube.infinite.red. He's been out of the country, actually, for a while, so he hasn't streamed in the last few weeks, but I think he'll be back to it pretty soon. It's always a good time. A lot of the Infinite Red people pop up in the chat. You can also join our Infinite Red Slack community at community.infinite.red and check out our Twitter community at rntwitter.infinite.red. You can find Mazin at MazinChami on Twitter. You can find me at Robin_Hines on Twitter. And then you can find the show at ReactNativeRDIO. As always, thanks to our producer and editor, Todd Wirth, our assistant editor and episode release coordinator, Jed Bartoski, our designer, Justin Husky, and our guest coordinator, Derek Greenberg. Thanks to our sponsors, Chain React and Infinite Red. Check us out at infinite.red/react-native. And a special thanks to all of you listening today. Please make sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
It almost sounded like I was listening to NPR there, Robin.
I listen to a lot of NPR. Oh, and to wrap things up, I do have a mom joke.
There we go. I was waiting for it.
I think it's a pretty good one. What washes up on tiny beaches?
What?
Microwaves.
Yeah.
Okay. This is so cute.
That was a good one.
Okay. Okay. We'll see y'all next time.
Bye.
Bye.